Oh, lovely.
Yes.
Excuse me. Tonight on TMSPM, Walking Dead for 10 days.
Do you even lift, hombre?
Can you smell what The Rock is spending?
Amber Heard smells like musk.
Donald Trump motorboating Rudy Giuliani.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMSPM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMSPM, the Thursday afternoon edition of the show at 3:35 p.m. Mountain Time. Only time zone that matters on Thursday, August 25th, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson in Salt Lake City, Utah. Brian Ibbett is currently still in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Brian.
That is right. And I'm on much better internet now than I was earlier.
Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, this is Casa Medzula.
What kind of Medzula internet do you get in Vegas? Like, how fast are we talking here?
Oh, what am I on? Like 5 gigahertz? Yeah, 5 gigahertz down or up or what? Do you know? You don't know.
Gigahertz. Oh, you mean megabits.
Megabits. It's the 5GH. He's got two connections in here. One of them is the 5. So this is like the airport thing that lets you do two.
Nice.
Yeah. So you can keep the riffraff off your own network.
Ah, that's amazing. Well, congratulations. Yeah. This is good. It sounds like we're going to have a real shoe here.
Good.
Brian,
good.
I've got a theory. And since you're in Vegas, I feel like you could help me with this theory for I don't know what reason. I feel like wrestling and Vegas go together for some reason.
They definitely do. And if there's a place I can bet on your theory, then I will put some money down on your theory.
All right.
For you.
And I'm sure Medzula will help you do that. So here's the deal. Here's my question, I suppose.
Okay.
We've been talking on and off on the show, as the news has warranted it, about the Vin Diesel, Dwayne Johnson rift that apparently happened on the set of Fast and Furious 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And nobody will talk about it. Nobody responds to it. He just does these like weird passive-aggressive things in his posts. The Rock does.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a thought today, and okay, I think I'm right about this.
All right.
It isn't like him to do that, number one. This isn't really his character to do it.
Right,
at
Dwayne
all.
Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like Vin Diesel just to stay quiet. So here's my theory. And all the other actors going, I don't know, I've never really had any problem with him. Maybe there's a bit.
Uncomfortable sexual... you give your theory, and then I'll give mine.
Okay, I'm already liking yours better. So my theory goes like this. This all ends up at WWE Mega Slam or whatever the hell it's called.
Oh no, are you thinking this is like a
it's staged. It's staged. I guarantee it's staged. Imagine the day where this all culminates and they're all doing it together. They're planning it. This is probably Bob McMahon, Jeff, the guy that runs the WWE, that guy. He probably had this bright idea. Is friends with these two people, obviously helped The Rock have a career in the first place.
Right.
I can absolutely see, if we can see Jon Stewart and Donald Trump and a bunch of other weird actors show up at WWE Super Slam Monkey Fest or whatever the name of their stupid slam thing is, Summer Slam, whatever it is, then why not Vin Diesel, The Rock, meeting in the ring to hash this out once and for all? It makes perfect sense to me. I'm actually willing to put money down that this is the whole plan. This was the thing from the entire beginning.
So my thinking, number one, it's potentially, not career hurting, but reputation hurting, what's currently going on between the two of them, right? Because Vin Diesel fans, all of a sudden now, if there's a rift, are going to be like, oh, I don't like The Rock anymore. Mm-hmm. Rock fans are going to be like, oh, I don't know what he's got against Vin Diesel, but I trust The Rock. So if he doesn't like Vin Diesel, now I don't like Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm. But so it's only temporary though, right? Just temporary.
Because at WrestleMania, they basically say, surprise, you've been punked. Now
that's it, WrestleMania. I couldn't think of the name. Thank you. WrestleMania is correct.
Yeah. Okay. There's possibility. My thinking is that The Rock, so Vin Diesel did something on set where he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that stunt. Go ahead and just pull in another guy to do that for me or you know.
Right.
Or did something basically, hey, could I get my my toe massager in, please. I'm not going to go out on set until my toe massager's here. And The Rock just thought that was too pansy ass and said, no, and I don't approve of, I smell what you're cooking and I don't like it.
All right. Well, it's possible. I really hope that that's what this ends up being, because it seems out of character for everybody involved. And it seems like we would have heard about it before, not just the set of eight, but like how many times The Rock and Vin been on there? 5, 6, and 7? Mm-hmm. You'd think we'd have heard about this before.
Maybe.
So I just feel like there's an opportunity there for them to do a really fun coming together and go, ha, you guys are all suckers. You believed in our big fake fight. Or even have it, you know, be a long-running thing. The Rock still shows up on wrestling all the time. He'll just pop in and go, I gotta fight the guy or whatever. So it's not unusual for them to do this. So I'm holding to my thinking. We'll know probably in the next, before Christmas.
Yeah, they would have to do it quick just to make sure that that it doesn't go on too long and get too exacerbated.
Yeah, and the damage can't, like you said, can't be permanent. Like you can't have, a role come up for one of those actors and have them have to turn it down because the director or the producers think there's some fight going on.
Right,
ooh, we hear Vin Diesel's hard to work with. We can't hire him for our movie. That could be bad. So tell me about Hector the Lifter. What the hell's that about?
So after TMS AM, I went down to the pool, hung out at the pool for a little while, MGM Grand Pool, which is one of my two favorite pools here in Vegas. That and I gotta quit putting my hands in front of the camera. One of my two favorite pools in Vegas, like that one in the Mandalay Bay pool. And hung out there for a couple hours and said, okay, yeah, if I'm going to make it in time to do TMS PM and still do this Marvel Avengers station thing at Treasure Island, I got to get a move on. Right. So went down, placed all my sports bet books, and then went out to the strip to get a lift. Now, normally you have to get your Lyft or your Uber at the hotel entrance, or like they have a special place off the valet parking area or wherever to go get your Lyft or your Uber.
Yeah.
Because they don't want them interfering with the natural operations of the taxis and stuff.
Sure.
But the sportsbook is on the complete opposite end of the MGM Grand. And it's like going through DIA. It's a huge, huge building. And it's another 10, 15 minutes to go across. So I said, all right, I'm going to try and go outside onto the strip where the Grand Canyon Experience convenience store is, where I looked for cables this morning, and try and get a lift out there. I tried it. That wasn't coming up on the lift thing, but just down the way is the Denny's, where actually I stopped and was talking on the phone, and we had the clearest reception earlier today.
Oh, yeah, that was near. I know where that is now that you said the Denny's. Before, I was still a little discombobulated, but I get it now.
You know where the Denny's is. Yep. So I look in the Lyft app, and sure enough, there's a Denny's in there, or the Denny's shows up in there. So I'm like, perfect. And I pull up, and I say, request a Lyft. And immediately goes, bing, your driver is Hector, and he's going to drive a Silver Scion. Like, all right.
All right.
But they show him on the map, and he's facing the other way on Las Vegas Boulevard, and he's got to do this U-turn thing. So it's like 3 minutes. Well, no problem. I'll just hang here. So I wait, and finally I see the little car, doop, 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 making its way on the map towards me. And I can see on the map that it's in the turn lane, getting ready to turn onto the street where the Denny's is, like get off the Las Vegas Strip onto the street where the Denny's is. And as I look up, I see Hector in his Silver Scion. He's at the front of the left turn lanes, and he's got his windows down, and he's waving at me. Mm. And so I wave back because I'm a nice guy. And then he starts gesturing for me to come over to the car. Now, traffic is moving in the way that I can cross the street now. It's currently with pedestrians that I can cross. And I guess what he's trying to do, and I figure it out, that he's saying, all right, if you get in the car, then I can just do a U-turn from the left lane. We'll stay on the Las Vegas Strip and get you up to Treasure Island.
They have to be creative out here, don't they, with that kind of weird.
They totally do. Yeah. They totally do. So I walk across, and he opens the front door for me, which is like, oh, usually we're supposed to get in the back. All right, no problem. I get in the front seat, and he holds out his hand and says, hi, I'm Hector. You're my first Lyft ride.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, cool. All right, congratulations. This will be fun. I'm like, wow, you're just starting out on this. He's like, yeah, I've been working. And this is all with a very thick Spanish accent. I've been working in inside for the last 9 years. I used to be housekeeping for the Aria. I'm like, oh, well, that's a great place. You guys do a great job. That place looks amazing. It's like, yeah, but I've never been you know, I never get outside. I get a ride to work, and then I go home, and I stay at home until it's time to go to work. So I don't know how to navigate the strip. And he's wondering if he needs to get into the Mirage or Treasure Island. I'm like, yeah, this is gonna be fun. But the whole time, because he never picked me up from where Lyft told him I would be, he didn't get the thing on his phone that said, "I've picked up my passenger."
Oh, so he can say that, and then he gets a dynamic change of direction
Exactly. Yeah. Then it switches over to giving him the directions on how to get up the strip. And so every time we come to a stoplight, he's grabbing his phone, and I'm looking at his phone with him and saying, try pushing that button. No, try pushing. There's a little icon of me, like little Facebook icon our fan that we met at Nerdtacular took of me, the guy I met in Milwaukee. Took of me is like on the bottom there, and he's tapping that, and he's tapping everything on there, trying to say I've picked up this guy. Meanwhile, we're three fourths of the way up to Treasure Island already. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't go back and go to that spot just so we can start things up. I said, well, you can be able to call them and say, hey, I picked up this guy, but it never really showed up on the thing. But I gave him the ride. Can we bill him now? So I don't think I'm going to get billed for that ride. I think Hector's first ride was free.
Well, don't they have to have? I thought they had to qualify by having a pretty, like, proving some sort of general understanding of the layouts of streets and stuff. Doesn't sound like he knew that very much, did he?
No, it didn't seem like it. Poor Hector. He was a $20 lesson or $15 lesson or whatever. It wasn't going to be that much. It's probably only like $6 or $7 because it was just a couple miles up the strip. But.
Do you usually do there? I mean, Uber's in town too, right? Or is it just Lyft out here?
Yeah, no, it's Uber and Lyft. But I had, I have 10 50% off rides with Lyft that I can use between now and September 1st.
By all means, yeah, you should be doing that.
Lyft and all over the place. Yeah.
Lyft is very popular here in Salt Lake City as well. People love Lyft out here.
So as I'm getting out, I'm like, well, do you want me to stick around in here and make sure that you can get paid? He's like, no, I'll definitely be able to get this figured out. Thank you. Sent him on his way.
And is it Lyft you can tip, but you have to do it on the app, right?
Yes. Yeah. Lyft you can tip in the app. Uber you tip separately, but they're not allowed to ask you for a tip.
Right. Right. And some of them for a while were telling people they can't take tips and made everybody think that meant you literally can't take tips.
Right.
But it turns out you can. You're just told like Uber's got some, they got some weird ideas sometimes. They do weird things. I like Lyft. Lyft seems a little more transparent.
Yeah, I like Lyft as well. I don't like the big pink mustache, but I guess they're moving away from that, which is fine.
Yeah, they dropped it, I think. I don't think they do it at all now.
Tubby in the Tadpool, which I just like saying that, Tubby in the Tadpool, said, did you at least hand him a $10 bill? And I said, well, no, because let's say he's able to call his company and say, yeah, I gave this guy right now, I'm out $30 or $20 or however much. So, Hector's going to learn a lesson.
You did the right thing. I think that was the right thing to do. If you'd have given him cash, they're not allowed to even take cash, I don't think. They have to do it.
No, they're not. It has to be through the app.
Yeah, the whole point of the app is to keep that from getting weird. So
I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have complained if I said, you know, here's $10. I probably could have canceled the ride in the app or whatever. But you never know. Because then he could say, no, I gave the guy a ride and he didn't pay me.
So they're not required to have like cameras in their cars or anything, are they?
I don't think so.
I've always wondered about that. If that's a thing that they, or if they don't, will they ever? Like, are we ever going to have some horrible serial killer guy?
Right.
Drive an Uber, pick up his victims or something, and then we're going to like, better start putting cameras in all the cars. I just wonder if that's going to happen.
Oh, Scott, you say that like it hasn't already happened.
Has happened?
Yeah, last year there was a guy, an Uber driver, who killed a couple people
really?
He picked up. Yes. Yeah.
One in Michigan. I forgot about this. You're right. He did. I thought he was just an Uber driver, but was killing us outside of his job. Meaning,
no, I thought he was picking people up to kill him. Yeah.
Okay. Uber driver arraigned on 6 counts of murder.
6.
Oh my gosh, that's awful. Oh, look at this guy. Yeah, don't drive in that guy's car.
He is going to get such a bad rating.
It's not going to go well for this guy. He could get the death penalty, the crimes. You say, okay, moonlighting as an Uber driver, randomly shot victims at 3 locations between fares. So it wasn't the fares he picked up. He would pick somebody up. He would drop them off.
And then shoot somebody else there where he dropped them off?
Yeah, he would drop them off and then drive a little ways and then shoot somebody, but they were never his fares.
Oh, God.
It says here, 14-year-old girl, Cracker Barrel. These were all... None of them were the driver. And imagine being, Brian, oh my gosh, imagine being this guy's passenger between killings. And you don't even know. You're just in the car.
Right.
So you've been doing this long? Oh, yeah, a couple years now. Like,
exactly.
Ugh, yeah. That's freaky.
Just all the small talk.
That's freaky. I don't like it at all.
Oh my God.
Well, anyway, it's good that you're there. I'm glad you're in an air-conditioned space.
Well, so the other thing, though, so what I was, the reason I went to Treasure Island was to check out this cool new Marvel Avengers exhibit.
Because why, let's ask the question honestly, why else would you go to Treasure
Island?
Why
else would I go to Treasure Island? Yeah. Well, if I let, you know, if I'd see Mystere, the Cirque du Soleil show there.
Sure, sure.
But that's about it. Yep. That's about it. Yep. I tried to go to Senior Frogs and see if I could get some frog pants, but they're apparently their souvenir shop has been closed for 4 months.
Oh, You and your last minute were closed thing. We talked about that earlier. You had another thing like this where somebody went out of business in Vegas right before you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so this Marvel Avengers thing, it is made for the Marvel fan. And I would say it is made for the Marvel fan and only the Marvel fan, because here's the deal. You pay your money and people, if you're planning on going, do the Groupon, because you can get the cheaper deal, and they give you an iPod or a little smart, I guess it's an iPod that can run apps, and there's an app that it downloads that's a Marvel thing. But if you want to use your own phone, you totally can. You log into their Wi-Fi and then you download the app yourself. Mm. Now, what's really cool about this is that it's got total geolocation. So wherever you are within this building, in the Iron Man room or in the Thor room or the Captain America room, it knows and it starts presenting you content for that character.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's all full motion video. Kobe Smulders talking about, talking about Thor like this.
Our relationship with the Asgardian Thor has laid way for us to explore interdimensional science.
Is she... She's not the Irish one you were playing earlier.
No. Okay. That's Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother. That's okay,
right. That's Marie. What I thought. I was just thinking, is she Irish?
And Maria Hill. No, here's the one you heard me playing earlier.
I'm Maria Hill.
Subject, Mjolnir. Mjolnir is the proper name for Thor's warhammer. Despite station research on the hammer, little is known about it.
Anyway. Oh, she's great.
She is great. So each time you go into a room, there are four or five of these bubbles on this app that you click and get information about the character or characters. So each of the main characters has their own room, but then your B-level Avengers, your Vision, your Scarlet Witch, your Ant-Man, Falcon all have like rooms where there's a group of them all together. Okay. But each room has like Captain America's shield and this costume and that costume and the thing where, you know, where you got the super serum and then the Tesseract and all these cool things, all these really amazing props that like Bill Durant would just be drooling over.
Oh my gosh, Carter is going to be mad when I tell her what she didn't see when she was there 2 weeks ago.
Oh no, yeah. Oh, yeah. She would have loved this.
I don't think they knew about it.
So at the end of every room, you have a little quiz to take, a little assessment. And for example, the Thor one. Let's see how you do with the Thor one. Ready?
All right. Yep. Ready.
All right. What planet is Thor from? And your choices are Midgard, Jotunheim, or Asgard.
Asgard.
Asgard is correct. We move on to the next one.
Okay.
What is the common name for an Einstein-Rosen bridge? Is it an aurora? Is it a wormhole? Or is it dark matter?
Oh, geez. I'll say aurora.
It is a wormhole.
Ah, damn it.
And
that the Rainbow Bridge? Is that the whole point of the Rainbow?
That's the Rainbow Bridge. Okay. It's a wormhole that gets you, from Midgard to Asgard. Right. When Loki asks you to trust him, do you A, trust him, B, crush him with Mjolnir, or C, send him home to Asgard?
Wait, give me the first part of that question again? Now I'm confused.
When Loki asks you to trust him, do you A, trust him, B, crush him with Mjolnir, or C, send him home to Asgard?
All right, well, send him home to Asgard.
That's correct.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
So in each of these things, and some of them are more difficult, some of them are a little easier, you get your assessment and you get a training score assigned at the end, and it determines whether or not you become an actual Avenger.
Yeah.
And I got 98 out of 100. I missed one question.
Does that make you a Avenger then? Only one wrong?
Yeah, I'm a, what is my level? I'm like a provisionary Avenger or something.
Do they give you a name or anything? Like a
no.
Okay.
No.
They don't tell you what your powers are?
They don't. Oh, here we go. Here it is. I am a probationary agent.
Oh, that doesn't sound
No, here's my card. It's my Avengers card right there.
That's so cool, dude. And wait, the photo they took right there, right then?
I took it on my phone. You take your own photo with your own phone and make, and so you can, like, you know, take it better. And I did, like, a little, you know, cheese ball face when I took it.
So what, then they sent, you sent it to them or something? Or
no, they print it out for you at the end in the gift shop.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
All right.
So people, if, and you can opt to just pay the money and not get the iPod thing, or you can, like, listen to it on your own iPod. Here's what you got to do. Bring your own iPod, your own headphones, download the app. Boom, boom, boom. Super easy. You don't have to pay extra for their stuff. And they keep reminding you, take lots of pictures. And so I did. So I'm going to be posting those up on Facebook at some point here. Because there's some really cool pictures of all these things. Oh, the technology. So they have these, like I was saying, like all the costumes and stuff behind glass. But it's like the special colored liquid crystal glass where as you're looking at the costume, it'll go and a little bit of information will pop up in front of it on the glass.
Oh, cool.
Semi-transparent, but it's like, you know, hovering in front. It's really, really cool stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah. I want more of that in my life, just generally speaking. I want that on just everywhere. I want to say your Keurig coffee is done or your freaking, your bath is warm and ready to go or whatever. That's amazing. I got to check that out when I'm down there. I didn't know it was that cool. I figured it was kind of a throwaway. But
no, it's totally worth that. And it looks like just based on how much stuff is in there and how, I mean, it, you know, they've got 12 Iron Man uniforms uniforms in there as well as the Hulkbuster. So this is not a temporary exhibit that they're going to be pulling out sometime.
Just a permanent permanent installation.
Oh. Yeah, definitely a permanent installation.
Okay, so this isn't some traveling thing, or it's not going to get yanked out unless I guess if it doesn't do well. But.
The very last thing does get a little cheesy because then you have to go in with all the people you've been walking around the exhibits with. And you have to defeat Ultron by tapping a button on your smartphone over and over and over again. But what's cheesy about it is that the woman who's walking around with you is like, ooh, good shot, Iron Man. Ooh, ooh, good shot, Hawkeye.
Oh, well done, Lord.
Scarlet Witch. Ooh, Black Widow, you got him. Now work together. Teamwork. Woo!
This makes me want to die to hear that. That makes me want to die.
That was about the point that I said, yeah, done.
Done. I'm out.
I'm not going to wait in line to like put on they had like a little costume thing where you could put on stuff and then have a bigger picture taken at the end. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm coming back here with my wife in a couple of days. She's flying out and I'm going to do the picture thing then.
Yeah.
And then she had to open the velvet rope so I could escape the picture area.
Ah, you actually got out. That's amazing. So are they, so what does it cost? Does it cost something? It costs something.
About $35.
That's fine.
It's not bad. It's worth it.
Worth seeing, you know. I could take a look through that. All right. Well, fine report there, Brian. Well done.
Yeah. Definitely go check it out.
Fully in now on this idea, and I'm glad that they kind of went crazy with that. I'm going to mix things up a little bit here for time. I'm going to take a break, and then we'll Dan after this. Then I got some news. So stay tuned for all of that, everybody. Brian brought some music, or at least aware of some music that I have right here. What are we playing for Indie in the Middle?
So this is a listener to the show who does electronica instrumental compositions, and he doesn't give me a lot of information. His name is John Finch, and he sent it in and says, hey, please find attachment on my tracks. I hope you like it. Thanks for listening, John. And I listened to it, said this is totally rad. It's kind of like Daft Punk meets Nine Inch Nails. Like, it's got a hard edge to it, and it's really, really cool. And I told him I played it on the show, and I was hoping he'd send me some more information, you know, like where people could listen to more of it. But whatever, he's a listener, and I appreciate the fact that he sent this in. This is John Finch and a song called For the Love of No One.
Very cool. We'll be right back with Dan Patrice and today's Dan the Tabletop Man. Come on back. We'll be right back. Wow, that was cool.
Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah, I want more of his music. He's have a whole album or just the one?
The only thing he told me is, here's this song. I hope you like it, and his name.
All right. So send us a thing. I want to hear more of that. That was really
more
cool.
More of John Finch, man. Really, really good stuff.
Well done. Listeners are talented. I know that for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's bring little Dan in here. What do you think about that?
I like that idea.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's pull him in. It's maybe the last time we see him for a while, because I guess I had my time mixed up. He's got this hockey thing coming up, and that's a future thing. But he's here today, and
he's
can't find his damn sounds. There it is. I found it. There we go. That's the tradition to play that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Mr. Dan Patrice, originally from Long Island, now in one of the Carolinas. We won't say which one.
The good one.
All right, the good one.
Well, actually, there is no good one anymore.
Yeah.
No, we'll let all this HB stuff and then all the stuff on the South Carolina State House.
Hey, do you want to explain to me what's going on with the freaking EpiPen deal real quick? How come they're suddenly 500% more expensive?
Well, they just decided to increase the price from whatever, I think it was like less than 100, just a little less than 100 bucks to 500 bucks a box for EpiPens.
That's crazy.
And so this isn't like a Martin Shkreli kind of thing, like what he did before. It's not one dude who's pushing up the price.
Yeah.
No, well, it's a whole company, and it's Mylan, and it's a pretty major company. So douchery from a company this big is kind of unusual for, you know, for the press they could get for it. And then the CEO, she got like $25 million raise in what she was worth in the company.
Maybe it's because she's like, I'd like a raise. Look how much money we're making on EpiPens now.
You know, I'm going to cash out, and then you're going to have to put this back down. Now, the thing is, most state programs, now if anybody, like children that would need this, that would have like Medicaid and things like that, that would have state programs, it's pretty much paid for by almost all of those state programs. So the problem becomes, you know, people like us that have private insurance, that some of them may give you a higher copay or may not cover it at all.
Yeah, good point.
And if you don't have insurance, you're really screwed. But there's a lot of different programs like cost assistance programs. And one of the biggest problems is the program that they claim will pay for your EpiPen only pays for a small amount of that $500 or $600.
Okay.
Because it used to pay for a lot more when it was cheaper. So there's a lot of different assistance programs. You could probably do a lot of different, you could do a search on Google. You might be able to find an assistance program. And if you do have a hardship out there, you could probably contact the company. There's usually an 800 number on their website, and they usually will help you out. So companies are pretty good, but this is kind of a douchey move. But most people, I would say probably the great majority of people won't even realize it, because their insurance will just continue to cover it.
Are there generics, though, like alternatives?
No, this is a weird product. Like, you would think that it would be pretty easy because it's been around for so long. There have been some other companies that have put out their version of the EpiPen, but they just won't catch on, or they just stop making them because for whatever reason, there's not a lot of profit.
So are they not, is Mylan or whoever they are they claiming costs have gone up, or are they just straight up raising prices?
I think they just raise prices because freaking EpiPen is not an expensive thing to make.
Oh,
and it's
bastards.
Not like their devices are that crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't know if they still have exclusivity, because I remember there were different AB rated generics, which is like in order for something to be substitutable. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to substitute a generic for, Johnsonolol, if I'm going to substitute something, the generic for it, it has to be AB rated, and I have to prove that it's AB rated, and I have to have the FDA has to say that it's AB rated, and then I can put it out later. And usually you have whatever it is, 7 to 14 years of exclusivity on your drug before it's available generically. Then I have to go through it. What a lot of companies do is they put out their own generics. So in generics are exactly the same as the brand name. And most of the time, what the brand name company will do is they'll just throw it into their own bottles, and it'll be the exact same tablets in a generic bottle.
Right.
So they get exclusivity. So they have 6 months more of putting out their drug, and then it's kind of open free.
It's a racket. It's a freaking racket.
Really is. I mean, nowadays they get less and less, like, because a lot of companies will change. I could go on forever about the Fugazi stuff that goes on with drugs, because all these companies, they'll change the molecule just a little bit, like Prilosec and Nexium. They just take, and I'm going to get a little chemical here, but they just take one of the isomers of the the Prilosec, and then they kind of diluted it down into what's called S-omeprazole, which is basically the S-isomer. And then, hey, we got a whole new product. We're just really screwing the whole world because we just put out a new product, and now we have a new patent, and now you're just taking pretty much the exact same drug. Who cares that it lasts an hour longer than your other 24-hour drug?
Yeah, F those guys. People's lives are at stake. F those guys. They suck.
It's what's good and what's bad about our country. Like, we have the ability to come up and make such great drug products, but the bottom line is money, just money rules everything.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Super innovative with the product, but partly because we're so motivated by the weird profit system.
Yeah. And you also have these companies that'll put out, you know, so the good part of that is they'll mess around like the cholesterol companies, they'll mess around with the little molecules so much that they get ones that they do so much more specific. Like, they'll raise your HDL so high and they won't really hurt your liver at all. But their LDL is pretty good, but it's so much better and less drug interactions. So by having all these different cholesterol medicines, there's always that one that fits into that person that's a little weird.
Well, here's what I say. That's the good part. Go to Canada, go to Mexico. There, I said it. Said it out loud.
Yeah, well, some of those, there's the good and the bad of all that. But, I mean, some of that can be said, yeah, no. I mean, you never know what you're getting when you're not dealing with the FDA.
All I'll say is...
I'm not saying anything wrong about Canada or Mexico. I don't know anything, but you just never know what's in those bottles.
Right. No, you have to... You're taking a bit of a risk. But in our Mad Max future, what I want is Dirty Dan behind a counter... selling everybody what's left of the drugs in the world.
I'll be that guy that's I'm charging up your iPods for a couple of pelts and water, and then I'm also got some also got some drugs for you.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
So you guys travel. Well, you travel. I mean, well, Ibit travels all the time. But Johnson, I know you go out of the country every now and then. Anybody out there, when you go out of the country, one of the coolest things to do is you go to a convenience store or a drugstore, and it will blow your mind what is over-the-counter in other countries.
Oh, no. Down in Mexico, they had every benzo you could buy available over-the-counter. Yeah. You could get,
In Canada, you could get the 222s, the things that are caffeine, aspirin, and...
the Furoset?
Is that what it is? Furoset? Yeah.
And Metalbutol. And you can get, a lot of times, some codeine when you go to, like, the Bahamas. Yeah. Like, 50 milligrams of codeine is, like, just over-the-counter.
No big deal.
That's like, and that's a Schedule II narcotic here.
You want some codeine, man? Like that? I'm thinking of Jamaica.
Well, and that's why, you know, and here's a public service announcement. If you go to Mexico, do not let any of your drinks, if you're in a club, especially if you're by yourself, no matter if you're a lady or a man, don't let any of your drinks out of your sight, because with those benzos being over the counter, that's basically what a roofie is.
Yeah.
And they're easy to get, and they don't want anybody slipping them in. And they're so, you know, they're just easy to get, and then people will have them, you know. Be careful out there.
I know from experience they make mistakes with their drinks all the time down in Mexico. So been there, done that. Dan, it's good to have you here. Let's talk about board games. Screw drugs.
Hey, so,
drugs are lame. Let's talk about...
Speaking of apps...
Yeah.
So the one of the big things that's been coming, you know, people are a little scared of, but it's been coming down a pipeline for a while, is using more apps in board games. Now, there's just regular apps out there that are kind of companion apps. You have like one for Sentinels of the Multiverse that'll track like different status effects or your health. But more and more companies are starting to put apps as part of their game. A perfect example is XCOM by Fantasy Flight, where somebody is in charge of using the app. Basically, that's their job. It's a co-op game, but the app kind of runs the game for you. Now, people are all worried. People like us probably aren't worried, because us three, we're pretty forward-thinking. We're not too worried about, you know, being able to get an app in 10 years for my board game, because either it'll still be there, or who the hell knows, or something better will be out there. But I'm not going to not buy a board game because it has an app with it.
Yeah.
Well, Fantasy Flight, who did XCOM, is putting out some more. Just recently... they have some like companion apps for some games like Descent. And now the second edition, I'll show you right here. This is a big honking game.
Mansions of Madness.
This is the second edition that just came out. Now, this uses an app with it. Now, what's the and this app, I'll just tell you this now. You can get it at the App Store, Google Play, or even Amazon on the App Store. So these type of games, now people like myself with my family, or you guys with your family, if you're going to play a game where it's one versus many, where you're the one, it's not like kind of an RPG where the DM really isn't on anybody's side. On these games like Descent, there's somebody who's like the DM or the overlord. He's trying to beat the other people. That would always be our job. You know, if we're the ones, you know, me, Scott, or Brian, if we're going to do it for our families or our friends, we're probably going to have to be the overlord every time, because we have the game and we know what it's what how to play it. Sure. What they're starting to do now, and what the new Mansions of Madness has, it has the app, which is the Overlord, so you can play it fully cooperative, and the game is going to do everything for you.
Wow, so that's a weird marriage of digital and traditional,
that's
isn't it?
That's totally cool. Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's awesome. The were you going to say something, maybe? Because I got another one after that. I mean, to go along with that.
Well, the only other one, I was just saying that was really awesome, but the only other one I can think of that I've actually played is the werewolf, the One Night Werewolf, where basically everybody closes their eyes and the app tells you, like, in which order people need to open their eyes to be able to see who's the other werewolf and who's the hunter. And it's like there'd be no other way to do that without the app. The app makes that such an easy thing.
Right. And you live in a time where you don't have to put like a dedicated device in there. Like I could see this in an old school way where it'd be like, oh, here's a little battery powered indicator timer thing. And all they're saying is, hey, we can do way more complex stuff that in any other era would either be impossible or extremely expensive to create a mechanism to do this. And everyone's got it in their pocket already. It's like buying the Jackbox. It's like, hey, yo, here's a video game. And nope, you don't use controllers. You just all use a phone because y'all got one. You dumbasses, right? I think it's
just
great.
Like that drawing thing that we like to play all the time.
Yeah,
right. Oh,
yeah.
My God,
same thing. Same deal. And no one ever questions it and goes, "Oh, I remember back in the day when I had to have my own pad of paper." It's like, no.
And the one that's that you've got to check out now. They're reportedly having an app. I don't know what when it's coming out, but they're going to do one for Star Wars Imperial Assault. Mm. That's the one where it's like Descent, but it's in a Star Wars universe, and it's one versus many. But they're going to put an app out for that. Now that's going to turn that game just. I mean, it's great already to play with somebody being the Overlord, but if you can play it with just fully cooperative, in the Star Wars universe, it's kind of like a dungeon crawl, and you're leveling up, and all these different scenarios. Man, I'm just. I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, that one sounds great. What's the timeline on that? When do we get that?
I'm sure it'll be out pretty soon, because I'm pretty sure they've got the Descent one is already out, and it's Mansions of Madness. Already the buzz is huge on Mansions of Madness. They have the detractors, the people that are all like, how many times can I play it? In 10 years, I won't be able to play it. Well, just buy it now.
Yeah, play it now. Enjoy it. It's not like you're paying $8,000 for this.
Yeah.
You're paying.
And there's like four scenarios. It's got the, it's in the same world as Arkham Horror. So it has that, like Cthulhu type universe, a bunch of good miniatures and Mansions of Madness. I would suspect that maybe by Christmas or early next year, if they haven't even set a timeline yet, I would think that the, Imperial Assault app will probably be pretty soon. You gotta think that it's gotta be real hard to program that, because there's a lot of if then that goes into running something like that. And it's gotta be a very random as far as what the computer does, and then there's so many more random cards in it. So how the AI uses that, and it has to be ready for any input, because you're inputting what you roll and what happens to you, what upgrades you get, and if you kill something, and then the app kind of takes it and runs with it. So there's got to be it's got to be quite a lot. And if they're going to put this out, I don't know if that one. I'm assuming that it would be free, because you're really going to sell more of your base game, because all those base games between Descent, Mansions of Madness and Imperial Assault, they're like $100.
Yeah.
So if it sells more of those, they probably don't care about putting it out for free.
Yeah, the app. If the app is only useful in the context of the game anyway, just make it available. Yeah. Like, who cares?
Yeah, you can't really play the game, or you can't really play the app without the game.
Right.
And for the people that have the old Mansions of Madness, I think they're going to put out. They're going to retrofit it, where I think you can get certain things to make it available to use with the app. Because there was a famous thing that Mansions of Madness was broken. Now, I'll give you the big downfall, and this what this actually also fixes. So there was a part of one of the scenarios where if you kind of set it up a little wrong, it was called like the freezer or the refrigerator incident, where it pretty much just broke the whole game, and you just couldn't even play it. So you'd be sitting there for 3 hours, and you can't find the one item, which is also what brings the problem with playing Mansions of Madness before the app, is one person that is the Overlord has to set everything up. Now, if you put something in the wrong place, the whole game is screwed. So if you can accidentally put a key behind the door that you need the key, and you can never get in there, and then these players are just running all around going, we can't find his key. And then 2 hours later, they're like, oh, man. I forgot to shuffle it in.
No, it's like a game-ending bug in a video game. Same idea.
Exactly. Yeah. So the app, that won't happen with things with the app. So pretty exciting to see what they've got coming out.
Speaking of apps, really cool. I have to tell you both about something I picked up on the cheap. I think it was only $2 on Steam for some sale. I didn't think much about it, but I like The Witcher, and I like The Witcher universe, and they have a Witcher board game, as you are aware, Dan, some sort of tabletop Witcher game. And
It's the same game as there's an app for it. It might be the game you're talking about, because it's actually the board game version of that of the Steam game, The Witcher.
Yeah, that's the one. It's really good.
Like, really, really good.
Surprisingly, really fun. It's a great way to stay in that universe, and it's very board game. Like, this isn't a video game that says, hey, we can make this more like a video game. It's straight up like the rules of the board game. It's little pieces moving around. It's super cool.
Awesome, too. And the minis look really good. And there's a couple of minis for everybody. The creator, the guy who designed that game, is Ignacy Cevicek. He is actually Portal Publishing. He owns Portal Publishing. He's made a bunch of games. He made 51st State, Imperial Settlers, which was my game of the year, was for 2 years ago. He's made that company and those games. Really great guy. I met him at Gen Con this year. They just put out Cry Havoc, which was on my, it was either number one or I think it was number two on my two-by list. Got to play that. We'll have to talk about that in the eventual future. But another great game, Cry Havoc, which is a four-player dudes on a map game where a couple hours, but you will absolutely love it. But
what's his name? Dude Cevicek? That's a cool name.
Yeah, it's spelled all. He's Polish, so it's spelled all really funky. But it's
a bunch of C's, a lot of C's.
There's a lot of consonants next to each other.
You know what's a good combo? Cevicek Ibit is a pretty good combo. Who's that? That's okay. Cevicek Ibit.
Cevicek Ibit.
Yeah, I like that.
That was what his. That was his Avengers name. He turns into Cevicek Ibit.
Oh, nice.
That's what he when he passed all of his tests. That's where he graduated.
It's not a great power, but we'll take it. Anything else, Dan? Going on? Do you want to mention?
No, we'll just check out. We just put out the Geek All-Stars episode 130, which was our Gen Con recap. You're going to have to listen to it in a few. Is our longest or second longest episode ever because we talk about so many games. It's just about a minute shy of 4 hours.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it was our Gen Con. There's no shortage of me talking for, as you can tell, I like to hear my own voice, so it's no shortage. And I had three other guys on there, so we were talking about everything all sorts of games and everything that went on there. Some good chatter about different games and some good arguments. But yeah, that's up on the feed, the Geek All-Stars, and nice. Check me out at Geek Jock Blog.
Nice.
Twitter. I'm going to hopefully be back whenever I have a Thursday that we don't have hockey practice. I'll let you guys know, but travel season starts next week.
Yeah.
So that's going to be
go team. It's your son's team, right?
It's the Carolina Eagles.
What's his team or what's his position?
He actually plays forward and goalie. Normally we were going to go to one organization, but they wouldn't let him play forward. So DJ is a really good forward. He would have made any of the teams as a forward, but he's the best goalie in his age group. So he's going to be splitting time between goalie. Eventually he'll have to make a decision, but he's nine. Who wants to make a decision?
Nobody does. Those
right. those important career choices that you have to make on which you're going to choose.
These kids just worried about like getting ice cream after hockey, let alone playing one position for the rest of their life.
Yeah, I think I spent most of my year nine trying to figure out how to make a slinky go upstairs instead of down. Like, that's how serious your life is then. So, all right. Well, that's fantastic. Good luck with that. We'll see you on the random Thursday when we can. Take it easy.
Got it, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. See you later.
See you, buddy.
All right. There goes Dan.
Cool. Very cool.
There goes Dan, the man.
I love the new integration between apps and board games. I think it's brilliant, and apps that look like board games. Mm-hmm. I think it's.
And why wouldn't you? It makes perfect sense to do this.
Right. Yeah,
sense to do it. All right, I'm going to rip through some of these real fast.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's some quick news, folks. Like this one, filming The Walking Dead season 7's premiere. Just the premiere episode. Was 10 days of shooting, and it was pure hell, according to Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays Negan. Joining the cast of The Walking Dead was bittersweet. Hiring him meant another actor's firing, like quite literally. If he got in, someone else had to go. As we know, somebody died. But it was all his character's fault. A member of The Walking Dead cast, which is a tight-knit family spending most months out of the year together in Georgia, had to say goodbye to his or her co-stars, and friends to start production of the 7th season, and it was every bit as difficult as one might expect. According to Morgan, the first days back on the set were especially brutal. So Brian, you have to read into this. If it was brutal, did anyone really care about Mullet Guy that much?
No. I don't know. I mean, I think it's brutal if any of those people, and I guess is this spoiler? Do we need to do a spoiler warning?
No, I don't think so. I think it's common knowledge. Somebody at the end of season 6 gets pummeled to death by Negan off camera. We don't know who it is. They left
Lucille.
Us hanging.
Yeah.
Yeah, with exactly. Lucille, the bat.
I don't know. I think it'd be brutal even if it was Mullet Man, whose name I can't even remember.
I just thought he was the easiest way out. And yeah. they've set this up so much that if it was him, people are going to be mad anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. here's... So my new theory is it is one of the principals.
Mm.
And it's probably not the one...
That happened in the comics?
Yeah, I don't think Lucille ends up where it ended up in the comics just because it's changed so much.
I'm with you.
I don't think it's Sexy Boy Motorcycle Man because everyone loves him.
No, I don't think so either. And I would shoot my prediction would be Porn Stash.
Oh, Porn Stash could go. Abraham, right?
I thought we were using nicknames to not be spoilery. Well, it doesn't matter. It's speculation.
Yeah, we don't
speculation
know.
Isn't a spoiler.
No, yeah. there's no indication one way or the other who it is, other than now I feel like this says if it was that somber for the cast, mm-hmm. it had to be somebody more major.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll wait and see. Dwayne Johnson, speaking of The Rock earlier, he has baller status now. He has topped the highest paid actor list. Good Lord. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Well, he's doing it with about 20 chefs in a giant mansion. Jane Munch has been named the world's highest paid actor of 2016. Doesn't come much of a surprise. Former wrestler has been everywhere this year. Topping top lister Robert Downey Jr. by earning a cool $64.5 million from June 2015 to June 2016. Pretty good year take, according to tallies made by Forbes. Baller status indeed. Let's see. Don't feel bad for the genius of Everdip, Tony Stark. Downey may have dropped down from number one to the number eight spot on the list, but still makes about $33 million. Bankable Johnson kept his 2016 busy and doubled his 2015 earnings with upfront fees from Fast 8 and the upcoming big screen Baywatch reboot.
Ugh.
And and Central Intelligence did pretty well.
I can't wait to watch that Baywatch reboot in a few years on FilmSack.
Yeah, that's true. He's getting paid big money to be in Ballers. I haven't seen that yet. Don't know what to expect from it. Have you seen it? Have you watched Ballers at all?
Nope. Haven't watched any
of
it.
It's not really my kind of thing. Like sports. It's basically like Jerry Maguire. It's like Jerry Maguire, the movie, sort of. Well, I guess Jerry Maguire was a movie.
Right. The TV show. Like it's like Jerry Maguire, the TV show. Because it's an ongoing. It's like Arliss, basically, right?
Yeah. It's sort of. Yeah. Like hardcore modern day Arliss, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's also in the new Disney Pixar film Moana. He's in the San Andreas sequel. He's in the forthcoming Doc Savage movie.
They're doing a San Andreas sequel when it like, ooh, the earthquake wants revenge.
Yeah, probably. Or it'll he'll be in some other part of the world and have a big quake or something dumb.
Oh, no. For this one, he has to team up with the earthquake to take on an even bigger threat.
Holy shit. Sharknado crossover, and I'm calling it now. Amber Heard, who's been in the news a lot because of Johnny Depp and him beating her up or whatever and them getting a divorce and all that. Elon Musk apparently has been courting Amber Heard for a friendship. Did this years ago. They have some emails that have leaked. He's the 45-year-old SpaceX CEO. First met the 30-year-old actress while filming Robert Rodriguez's 2013 Machete Kills. E! News can confirm that. Never had a scene together, although why was he on the set for that?
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
Is Danny Trejo's battery powered? He's all electric now? Is that the
got to recharge the his hybrid. Danny Trejo's hybrid.
I Googled it.
Oh, so if they get married, will she have a hyphenated name, Muskard?
Oh, Muskard. Oh, yellow Muskard. I love it. The Hollywood Reporter initially reported the story saying Musk became infatuated with Heard and began emailing Rodriguez and his team to set up dinners and lunches with the actress. Well, that's not creepy at all.
Not at all. Oh, weird. I love it. Nothing more romantic than having your assistant set up lunches and dinners.
Yeah, that's weird. Finally, Donald Trump actually motorboated Rudy Giuliani in drag. Or he motorboated. How do you do it? Who motorboats? The man or the lady?
The man motorboats.
Okay.
The lady is the motorboater, and she is the motorboatee.
The lady in this case is Rudy Giuliani. Now, this didn't just happen. This was Colbert dug this up, I guess. This happened. When was this? Anyway, there's a big thing about the internet never forgets. I'm going to play a part of this. Chat room, here you go. We're going to play audio, and you'll see video at home. Hold on. Here we go. All right. This is Donald Trump. That's weird.
This is truly the art of the deal.
This is the art. This is the actual art of the deal. This is the deal they're talking about all the time. Okay.
This isn't that long ago. This is 15 or 16 years ago. Oh my God! Look at his hair.
All right, so let's try this out. The Mayor's Inner Circle Press Roast 2000. So this isn't. Oh, why is he doing this? I'm so glad you didn't become... Oh, Donald.
You know, you're really beautiful. And a woman that looks like that has to have her own special scent.
Oh, thank you. Maybe you could tell me what you think of this scent.
Oh, my God. This is...
I like that.
This may be the best of all.
Why are they doing it?
What is the reason for this?
Oh, you dirty boy. You.
He motorboated her.
Donald, I thought you were a gentleman.
And that's Rudy Giuliani.
That's Rudy Giuliani in drag. What the hell are
that's
we
really
at?
Bad. Why does that exist? The internet never forgets.
Sustainable
oh,
self.
Okay, all right.
Finally.
Gosh dang it. Oh. Go away. that's pretty funny. Gross.
Leslie Jones should feel really good now that that kind of stuff didn't get leaked on her webpage.
No kidding. Motorboating a drag wearing Rudy Giuliani. How can I take these people seriously? I feel like we're not done with those kinds of things, by the way. I feel like other stuff's going to come out. We'll see. Hey, we're done.
Central next president, ladies and gentlemen.
We are done with the show. Thank you all for being here. That completes our hour. I'm not going to say fiduciary. That guy will email me again.
So you just did.
Damn it. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to go. Big thanks to everybody supporting us there. That makes this fifth episode possible. You can visit our website at frogpants.com. 801-471-0462 is our voicemail. And leave us an email, themorningstream@gmail.com. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. The show's at Morning Stream. And I'm guessing if you follow Coverville, it'd be a good weekend to do that because he's going to show you all kinds of weird shit in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, check out my Facebook page. I just uploaded a little video of the of a bunch of slides or a bunch of photos from the Marvel Station. So
nice.
Really cool stuff.
Nice. Well, have a safe trip while you're down there, will you? Don't die
well, thank you, sir.
Get kidnapped or... I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
Whatever I'll else try. Happens.
Yeah.
You'll do your best.
I'll do my best. You know what happens in Vegas and all that.
Yeah. Stays on your clothes is what it is, the old saying.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to play a song to go out. It will be a cover of some sort. And you brought it. What is it?
I did. It is going out to Kai from Cupertino, probably just a stone's throw from the new Marvel Spaceship Campus. Kai says, no special occasion for this request. I just finished watching the new movie Kubo and the Two Strings that came out. And as soon as I heard the first few seconds of the song at the end, I knew I had to request it here. As an animator myself, I have to say that Kubo is probably one of my favorite animated movies of all time. Go see it. Love you guys. Signed, Kai.
Wow.
Awesome. Yeah. This is, and this is great. This is While My Guitar Gently Weeps, of course, by the Beatles, but we all know it was by George Harrison, covered by Regina Spektor. From the soundtrack to Kubo and the Two Strings. This is awesome. And I can't wait to see this movie.
Yeah, I'm going to see it this weekend for my anniversary. Kim and I are going to go.
Oh, very cool.
We're going out of town. We're going to be in Park City all weekend, and we're going to watch this.
So, nice.
Yeah. So I'll let people know what I think on Monday. Speaking of that, we'll be back then. Thank you all for being here and listening. See you next week.
Guitar gently weeps. I look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping. Still, my guitar gently weeps. I don't know why. Nobody told you how to unfold your love. I don't know how someone controlled you. They bought and sold you. I love. Guitar gently weeps with every.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Oh, I don't have a thing.
I don't give a shit.
Okay.